Speaking of tech startups, here's the story of a journalist who went from covering them to joining one with kind of mixed results. Dan Lyons was a magazine writer and the technology editor at Newsweek. And then one Friday morning, he lost his job. Who's 50 years old with a wife and two kids? I mean, what do you do? Well, Dan decided to join the tech explosion he'd been covering. He scored a gig with HubSpot, a Boston startup that was flush with $100 million in venture capital. It tells the story of what happened next in a book called Disrupted, My Misadventure in the Startup Bubble. Doug Gordon wanted to know more.
Dan, what was your title at HubSpot?
I had a very funny title. My title was Marketing Fellow. It's a good one, right?
Yeah, I like it.
I sort of liked it because it made me feel like I was sort of quasi kind of academic. And I thought, well, I'm like an advisor to the company. I'm a fellow. I was twice the age of everybody there. The average age was 26. Most people were right out of college. And so I thought, well, I'm like the eminence grise. You know, I'm like the old guy who will, you know, whisper in the ear of the CEO, like, no, don't answer that question.
Yeah, the wisdom whisper.
Yeah. I can do that, too. I'm really good at that sort of, like, lean over. But no, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. They sort of said, well, our blog and our media operation is really pretty bad, and we want a real journalist to come in and build a real media thing for us. I said, oh, I could do that, you know. But it was very loosey-goosey.
Yeah. What did you think your colleagues thought of you?
A guy called me Grandpa. So I think they thought I was old. You know, there's all this stuff about, like, you know, do you know how to use Facebook? And I was like, yeah, I have a pretty big presence on Facebook.
Workplaces, even startups, I imagine. I've never worked one, but I imagine, although startups consider themselves doing everything kind of differently and reinventing work, but still there's a culture of conformity at workplaces. And then when you have this, that you're so obviously much older than everyone else, that's got to make you stand out, and not necessarily in a good way, which is not fair at all.
I think I would have not fit in even back when I was 25. I was always somewhat kind of cynical and curmudgeonly. I had an old friend of mine from college write to me. She read my book, and she said, it's so weird, you know, it feels like yesterday we were in college, and now you've become this grumpy old man. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm that old. She said, no, but you were always grumpy, even in college. Well, you were in the college newspaper. You were always grumpy and dyspeptic and kind of...
A grumpy young man.
A grumpy young man, yeah. This place was very culty. It was very rah-rah and very much like, we're going to change the world. We're really great. This is so awesome. We're awesome. You know, they take pictures of themselves like jumping up in the air and stuff at work. They're all very cheery to be at work.
And you mentioned it was kind of like a cult. And one of the most cult-like things about HubSpot, I think, was the language, their own particular lingo that they used, which you describe as HubSpeak. Every workplace has their own sort of slang, but I get the sense that HubSpeak takes this idea of corporate lingo to a whole new level.
Yeah, they have this word delightion, which is like, it's a noun version of the noun delight, right? I mean, delight is already a noun, right? But they would say we engage in delightion, which is the process of creating a feeling of delight in our customers, or delighting our customers. We call that delightion. And they would use this without any irony, without anybody laughing or kind of snickering into their fist.
Except for you, right?
Well, yeah. And I'm kind of like looking around going, you know, this is kind of crazy. And they would say things like 1 + 1 = 3. Our software is so magical and alchemical that it makes 1 + 1 = 3. And then they would say, I like that idea, but it's not 1 + 1 = 3 enough. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I don't know what you mean. I actually don't. And I thought it was a perfectly good idea. The best one was that when they fired people, they called it graduation. And then we would get this very cheery memo. It was like being in Scientology. You'd get this cheery memo that says, hey, everybody, just want to let you know, Derek has graduated, and we're totally stoked to see what he does with his superpowers on his next big rock star adventure. Go, Derek. And then you'd look over, and the guy's desk would be empty. Like, he just was gone. Everything was gone. And he hadn't even noticed. Oh, yeah, dude, I didn't even notice it. And he would never be spoken of again. Like, ever again. Never.
Yeah. And spam isn't called spam. It's called...
lovable marketing content.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's great.
I spoke at Google a couple of weeks ago at a Google office in Boston, a big crowd, and they asked me the same thing. And even the Google people burst out laughing. I thought, okay, so it's not just me that thinks this is crazy. Like, even other techie guys think that's nuts. Yeah, lovable marketing content that engages in delightion and makes 1 + 1 = 3.
And that has lots of heart.
Oh, yeah, heart. I forgot about, yeah. Heart is the acronym for humble, effective, adaptable, remarkable, and transparent. And that's what every HubSpotter had to have in order to be what they called HubSpot-y. And there would be a HubSpot-y way of doing things. They would say something like, well, how about if we did this? And they're like, yeah, I'd like doing it that way, but that's not really HubSpot-y enough. What would be the HubSpot-y way of doing it? It's like, I don't know. What would be the HubSpot-y way of doing X, Y, like eating lunch? What's the HubSpot-y way of eating lunch? I don't know. Yeah, it was very scary. And very humorless in a lot of ways. Like, people didn't want to joke about any of that. The best one was the teddy bear. One of the co-founders wrote this long essay on LinkedIn about how he was bringing a teddy bear to meetings, and that was like the stand-in for the customer, and he thought this was such a big innovation and that every company should do this, and he would put the teddy bear at the management meetings, and that way everybody in the meeting would remember that we're here to solve for the customer, which they would call SFTC, solve for the customer. And is that really an SFTC idea? I don't know. But and then when the teddy bear thing happened, I remember reading it and going, like, that's crazy. Like, that's really nuts. And I asked my boss, that young guy, I was like, dude, like, come here. Like, no, I didn't want to say it out loud. I was like, that's crazy, right? And he was like, no, I think it's a really good idea. I was like, no, you know that's crazy. But nobody would agree with me. And then I realized scarier than the teddy bear was the fact that 500 people would all not laugh at the teddy bear, that they would all just be like, yeah, that's really good. He's such a great idea. He's a great leader. He's a thinkfluencer. He's a visionary and a thought leader, you know, and like, I'm getting PTSD talking about this.
I can
stuff,
hear
man.
That. Yeah.
I'm really,
And I'm sorry, I'm going to make you go deeper into your PTSD because we're not quite done yet. So, your whole HubSpot experience sounds like this Kafkaesque Orwellian nightmare. It kind of makes the movie Office Space look like a documentary. And this experience, it sounds like it would have driven me crazy. But to be honest, that's a short ride.
That's a short ride.
For me, it is. Believe me. How did you manage to keep your sanity?
I know. It's a short ride for me, too. Well, for a long time, they sort of isolated me and stuck me in this room full of telemarketers and just gave me a desk in the corner. And it was really loud and it was just really horrible. And it was like, okay, they'll make you so unhappy, you'll go. And I just would start working from home and kind of writing my stories there. And I just tried to focus on other things and hang out with my wife and kids. I knew I would not stay there forever. So I think if you didn't know you were going to leave, it would be really hard. And I've had letters from people like, oh, you can't believe this. I've had like hundreds and hundreds of people writing to me telling me that they went through something similar to this in another wacko place. So I don't think this is isolated. I think a lot of people's work life is kind of like this now, which is amazing to me.
You've actually worked as a writer for Mike Judge's HBO TV series, Silicon Valley. And I imagine that was a very refreshing change from your experience at HubSpot. My guess is that the other writers weren't saying, Dan, could you make this a little more Silicon Valley-y? That wasn't happening, was it?
No, it was very fun. It was great to be able to be cynical and dark and caustic again. You're with a bunch of people who are just like that all day long. So that was really hilarious. And I did 2 seasons with them. I worked on season 2 and then season 3. Now, next year, they'll work on season 4, but I won't go back to that.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's too bad. We'll look for the show to jump the shark without Dan Lyons content.
I think it's over. Yeah, it's all over now, pretty much. This was the last good season. I wouldn't watch it after this.
No. Were you able to draw on a lot of your HubSpot experiences in your writing for Silicon Valley?
A little bit. I think in season 3, the one that's just airing now, but the first 2 that have shown so far, I think there's a couple things that are sort of ideas that I contributed based on my experience at HubSpot.
Can you give me an example of one of the 2 ideas?
Yeah, there's a line in episode 2 about where they bring in an experienced CEO to help run the company.
You know, everybody in this industry, they say they want to make this world a better place, but we could actually do it. We could do it and make billions of dollars.
Richard, listen.
No, you listen to me, Jack. You promised me that you would never compromise the product. So, do you feel like taking some action and backing me up on this? Because me and my product feel pretty compromised right now.
Richard, I don't think you understand what the product is. The product isn't the platform. And the product isn't your algorithm either. And it's not even the software. Do you know what Pied Piper's product is, Richard?
Is it me?
Oh, God, no! No! How could it possibly be you? You got fired! Pied Piper's product is its stock.
It's stock.
And whatever makes the value of that stock go up, that is what we are going to make. Now, maybe sometime in the future, we could change the world and perform miracles and all of that stuff. And I hope we do. But like I told you before, I'm not going to mortgage the present for that. I need to move the needle today.
That's a bit from Silicon Valley, written by Dan Lyons, who's the author of Disrupted, My Misadventure in the Startup Bubble. He was talking with Doug Gordon.